following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
All right, good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. My name is Mitch. I'm one of the pastors here at Life Connection. I just want to, thank you again for being here. And this week, I'm actually starting off a new sermon series that's going to be on work. And so it's going to be a four-week series. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about really these two big questions. Number one, what is God's design for work? And then number two, how does the gospel of Jesus Christ impact our work? And just as a fair warning to y'all, I've kind of been battling a cold. I've got a cough. And so if you see me doing this, kind of squinting my eyes, that's me trying to hold back a cough. And thanks to Nancy who brought me some cough drops. So I'm going to do that, do the best that I can. And so our four-week outline is this, just to kind of give you an overview of the next 4 weeks. This morning I'm going to be talking about the creation of work, and we're going to camp out in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The next week we're going to talk about work after the fall. So sin comes in, and so what does work look like after sin? The third week is what does it look like to restore work, to bring back work to God's original design and intent. And then the fourth week, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God and work. So I'm really excited to get to start this series off. You know, even this last week, as I was kind of digging deep into God's design for work, I felt that God was really kind of lifting a burden off my heart because, you know, the last 10 years for me, my career in particular has been tough, and it seems like it's had more challenges than victories. And so I'm really thankful for God's word and just the way that he was able to encourage me this week. And I'm sure that some of you guys can relate to your work being tough, and so I hope that y'all are encouraged this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, many of us, like me, were disillusioned with our work. We often only see it as a paycheck. We have a hard time finding purpose. Sometimes our bodies fail us. We often feel weak and discouraged. So Lord, we need your help. We desperately want the gift of being able to labor long and hard and with joy. Would you grant us that gift? In Jesus' name, amen. So I kind of want to start by sharing two significant memories from my life that relate to work. The first is growing up watching my dad work. My dad has one of the strongest work ethics that I've ever seen. He grew up in central Kansas as a farm boy. And so from a young age, he was kicking tail out on the farm. I often wish that he would have stayed on the farm so I could have been a farm boy too, but he moved to Kansas City. And I don't have a single memory of my dad ever being idle. In fact, this next spring, he's gonna retire from putting in almost 40 years at the same place. That just doesn't really happen anymore, especially with some of our generation. I learned a lot from my dad. He worked hard. I learned what it meant to work hard and to have a work ethic from a young age. I saw him providing for me and my family, and that really impressed me. But there was kind of a big hole also. I thought that there was something missing, and that's really because I never, never saw my dad enjoy his work. He never really talked about his job with pleasure. He never really talked about purpose in his job. And the memories that I have are more so of him coming home with headaches. And sitting on the chair and resting and putting a cold cloth over his head. And I just thought, man, there's got to be something more to work. And so from a young age, I just longed to have a career that I could not just provide for my family, but also enjoy. And so the second memory that I want to share is my freshman year of college. It's back in 2004. I was at a church conference, and the topic of the conference was Don't Waste Your Life. And after the conference, the speaker gave us a book that was titled Don't Waste Your Life by a guy named John Piper. And one of the chapters really struck me as it was related to work. And I'm going to read just a little bit from that chapter. It says this: secular work is not a waste when we make much of Christ from 8 to 5. God's will in this age is that his people be scattered like salt and light in all legitimate vocations. His aim is to be known, because knowing him is life and joy. He does not call us out of the world. He does not remove the need to work. He does not destroy society and culture. Through his scattered saints, he spreads a passion for his supremacy in all things for the joy of all peoples. If you work like the world, you will waste your life, no matter how rich you get. But if your work creates a web of redemptive relationships and becomes an adornment for the gospel of the glory of Christ, your satisfaction will last forever, and God will be exalted in your joy. It's kind of like, boom, mic drop. That's some good stuff right there. And that got me fired up, and it got me hopeful. Because when I started college, I had one goal in mind, and that was to get a degree in business so that I could start my own business and make money and kind of pursue the American dream. But I realized that freshman year, and kind of through this book even, that my dream was all about myself. And I think God was doing this work in my heart to start thinking about what it means to dream about the kingdom and to dream about impacting others through my work and even through my education there at K-State. So sitting in my dorm room, I was wrestling with my career and what I would do. This may sound a little weird, but I started to make some calculations. And what I did was I calculated the number of hours that we will work in our career. You know, say on average being a 40-year career, 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, and that ends up being 90,000 hours that many of us will work. That's a lot of time. And then I calculated how many hours are actually in a year. Anybody want to take a guess? No. There are 8,760 hours in a year. So when you translate hours to years, that basically means that we will spend an entire 10 years of our life working. Again, that's a lot of time. So I hope this morning that I can share a few lessons that God has graciously taught me over the years. I've been on a 15-year journey of ups and downs as I've sought to discover what it means to honor God and to serve others with my work. The text that we're going to be in this morning is out of Genesis 2, and it's verses 2 through 9. So if you want to flip there, you can, but I'm going to go ahead and read this. So again, it's Genesis 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 9. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so the reason why we start in Genesis is because any good theology of work starts with creation. But right away, we see that God himself was working. We also see that Adam and Eve, they did not have a 9-to-5 job. And so from the beginning, I want to say that we need to expand our idea of work beyond just that of a paycheck. There's so much more to it. And so this is the big picture for the morning. If there's one thing that I hope hits home, it's this. From Genesis chapters 1 and chapter 2, we see that God intended work to be a good thing. As we labor in creation, on creation, with creation, and for creation. Let me read that again. From Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see that God intended work to be a good thing as we labor in creation, on creation, with creation, and for creation. And so our outline this morning is going to kind of unpack that. In, on, with, and for. So starting with, we are to labor in creation. Chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So first God creates the world and everything in it. Then God creates Adam and Eve, and he places them right in the center of his creation. Adam and Eve, you and I, we did nothing to deserve that gift to be able to be placed in God's creation. So right away from the beginning, we see that God's favor and his grace is toward mankind. In verse 2 through 3, it says three times that God worked to create the world. Think about that. Do you ever think about God working? For me, the image that came to mind is I wondered, you know, did God wear leather gloves? Did he have work gloves while he was working? Did he have steel toe boots? Did he have a flannel, you know, a carpenter's flannel? Probably not. But God was working. And so it's cool just to think about that God working. And although God is almighty and he's all wise, it was probably still hard work. So I've had the unique opportunity of being able to travel the world and see some of God's finest work. After college, I spent a year in the jungles of Indonesia. While I was in Indonesia, I traveled to Nepal. Got to stay there for 10 days, and I got to hang out at the base of the Himalayas, and I got to see Mount Everest off in the distance. I got to say, that's about the smallest I've ever felt in my life. I've got to ride mopeds through the countryside of Thailand. I've been in the Canadian wilderness, just me and my dad and my brothers, fishing in the middle of a lake with a moose swimming by, giant moose. And I've been hunting in Kansas farmland, the same land that my dad grew up, with the wheat blowing in the wind and pheasants rising in front of you, one of the prettiest birds in North America. And what about you guys? What are some of the more breathtaking places that you've been and seen? Have you ever experienced the joy that comes from someone benefiting from your work. For me, I've been a furniture maker for the last 10 or 15 years, and it's rewarding when someone sits in a chair that I've made and they enjoy it. They don't fall over, snap the chair, or whatever. They actually enjoy it. What about a construction worker who builds a house and a young family gets to move in for the first time? What about a doctor who administers first aid to somebody? What about a chef who cooks, a mother who cares for a child, or a professor who teaches an important lesson? How does it feel when you get a smile, a laugh, or a sense of enjoyment from someone else delighting in your work? It feels great, doesn't it? And much like that, we make God look great when we enjoy his creation and we acknowledge him as creator. And so all humans, whether you believe in God and follow Jesus or not, we all work in God's creation. So for those that follow Jesus, what is it that sets us apart? We love his creation, but the creation is not the creator. See, that's the difference. We love the creator above all else. Think about these questions. Are you thankful for your breath? Acts 17:25. God gives life and breath and everything else we need. Are you thankful for the sunlight each day? Genesis 1, chapter 3, God said, "Let there be light." Are you thankful for your food and for clothing? 1 Timothy 6, 7 and 8, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Are you thankful for your daily strength? Colossians 1:29. "To this end I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." All of these things God has given you in his creation so that we can labor and persevere with joy. So my challenge for us as we think about working in God's creation is that don't be so busy that you miss the beauty. We must integrate into the whirlwind. I think you'd all agree that the second we wake up in the morning, we have the opportunity to either be taken by the whirlwind of the day, or we can integrate into it. And one way we do that is that we need to take a moment every week and take a rest, just as God did. And I think it's good to look back on the week and to be able to say that our work in his creation and by his strength was good. Don't be so busy that you miss the beauty. All right, so point number two. We are not only to work in creation, but we're to work on his creation. So this is stewardship. We are to take care of what God has given us. We're to improve it, restore it, and to delight in the process. I want to share two verses, chapter 1, verse 28, and chapter 2, verse 5. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Chapter 2, verse 5, "When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground." It is a gift that we're not little robots programmed by God to do the same empty tasks over and over with no purpose and no direction. The reason God put Adam in the garden was to enjoy it and to work it and to keep it. One of the big things that struck me this last week was that I found out that this language of working and keeping was not just used for Adam and Eve. Working and keeping watch is also the language of priesthood. Priests were to serve and to watch over God's people. Adam was called to serve and to watch over God's creation, and you and I are called to serve and to work over God's people. So in the Old Testament, God gave priests to shepherd and to be in charge of the spiritual welfare of the people of God. And then come New Testament with Jesus, God takes that to a whole new level and says that if you follow Jesus, he's going to empower us and he's going to call us to be priests to everybody. We're all priests, okay? So 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a royal priesthood. And what a joy it is that God has leveled the playing field. We all get to work in and on his creation while being on the same team. There are no bench warmers. There are no towel boys. We're all on the field together. It doesn't matter whether you're a fisherman or a farmer, a doctor or a doorman, a salesman or a surgeon, a mechanic or a mom. We all get the gift of working and serving over God's creation and God's people. Can I get an amen or something from that? All right, let's go. This is me getting fired up. All right, so moving on to point number three. As a review, we're to labor in creation, on creation. Number three, we're to labor with creation. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So we are to labor with creation. Just as Adam and Eve started together, this is the relationship piece of the whole thing. We are finite beings. We need others and we need God to accomplish any task in this world. It is a gift when we can link arms with others and have a common goal of accomplishing something great for Jesus. And that's one thing that I love about Life Connection. Though we're not large in our numbers, I get the sense that we're all linking arms to share the love of Jesus here in the Northeast. So it's not about numbers, but it's about linking arms with those that are around you. For the last 10 years, I owned a business, and I was often terrified, knowing that I couldn't do it all on my own. I had to trust other people to get some things done. And when our team would accomplish something together that seemed impossible, it was like the greatest feeling. I want to jump to the New Testament for a second. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. And then later on in chapter 1, it says the Word became flesh. So we see that from the beginning, the triune God was in relationship even before Adam and Eve were here. We see that God is inherently relational. Jesus was there from the beginning with the Father. And immediately after God creates Adam and Eve, he is in conversation with them. One moment he says, let there be light. And the next moment, he's speaking to humankind. So God's design in creation is that we are to be dependent on one another and deeply and even more so dependent on God. We make much of God when we depend on him and others and not ourselves. So we are to labor not just in and on creation, but in relationship with creation. So the last and final point here is that we are to work for creation. And this is really where we set the stage for the good news of Jesus Christ. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, this is actually after the fall. One verse here that I want us to discuss here for a moment. Chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. I'll read that again. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Have you ever thought about God as a seamstress? I never have until I thought about that verse. God is a maker. He made clothes. That's pretty cool. Innocent blood was shed to cover the sin and shame of Adam and Eve. And so this is one of the first and more significant examples of God working for creation. So this is kind of where it comes full circle. You know, at Life Connection, we always end with Jesus. You probably notice that every Sunday. It always comes back to Jesus. So Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the perfect sacrifice. He was the innocent blood shed on our behalf to cover our shame and our guilt. Jesus did the excruciating work at the cross so we wouldn't have to. You know, when I was running a business for the last 10 years, people would often ask, so how do you start a business? How do you do it? And I would sometimes say, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears. And what I'm struck by is that ultimately, it's through the blood, sweat, and tears of Jesus that we're saved. He took our sin upon himself. He actually became sin for us. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. And the gospel inspires us to work for creation, not just for ourselves. That's that freshman year of college when I kind of was able to break free. Because for the first time, I accepted and I embraced kind of the Romans 5:8, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And I had this moment where it's like, are you kidding me? I'm sinning. He suffers. I've been wandering aimlessly for 18 years pursuing my own thing. And yet he still dies for me. This kind of labor of love from Jesus can only result in our spontaneous love and sacrifice aimed at laboring so that others may know the same Jesus that we know. Remember what Paul said. He said, I worked harder than everybody else. And he wasn't bragging about that. He was bragging about the grace of God, because he said it wasn't me, but the grace of God in me. So what does it mean for us to labor for creation? I want to talk about two examples. Number one. There are few people that are as selfless as mothers are. The prime of a mom's career would be from birth to when their kids leave for college. Obviously, it's more than that, but that's the prime of their career. So these are 24/7 shifts. Even firemen take 2 to 3 days off after a 24-hour shift. These guys are wimps. Hopefully there's no fireman here with us this morning. But when Josiah is hungry at 2 a.m., Kristen is there. When Abby needs her water bottle refilled at 3 a.m., Kristen is there. When Caitlin is scared because of a dream at 4 a.m., Kristen is there. And you guys are saying, well, what am I doing? I'm the wimp that's laying in bed saying, gosh, I'm so tired. But Kristen is there. It's a 24/7 shift for 18 plus years. And so mothers put in all this time working and laboring and serving with one mission in mind, and that's that their kids know Jesus. My mom just turned 61, and every year I ask her what she wants for her birthday, ever since I was like 15, She says, I want boys who follow Jesus. That's it. She also asked for chocolate this year, but she didn't get it. It's like, I love Jesus. Hopefully that's enough. Okay, so example number two, I want to circle back to my dad. So when I was little, I wanted to be an engineer, just like my dad. I remember when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I set up an office in my room to do the things that engineers did. I had him find me some old radios so that I could try and take them apart and try to learn like the components inside the radio. And when I couldn't even get the back plate off the radio, after like 10 minutes, I took it out in the driveway and smashed it with a hammer. And my dad was like, you're not gonna be an engineer, son. No surprise to us, I actually spent the last 10 years of my career in demolition and construction. So like I said from the beginning, my dad didn't like his job. He didn't talk about it much. I never really got to see where he worked. I never really got to see him talk about his job with a lot of passion or excitement. But now that I've spent the last 10 years or so working, I now see that my dad laid down his life for me so that I could go to college and graduate without debt so that I'd be able to pursue my dream of starting a business to impact other people for Jesus. So was my dad a part of that impact? Better believe he was. Has anybody ever seen the movie October Sky? You can raise your hand if you like. A couple of you. Jake Gyllenhaal. He's just a stud. It was one of his early on movies. Jake Gyllenhaal plays Homer Hickam from a small coal mining town. And his dad ran the mines and gave his life, you know, more than a 40-hour week. He gave his life for that town so that they could have jobs. And the coal mine eventually would go under and the town would diminish. And I don't think it's really anything today. Homer's dad, I think when, and this is based on a true story, when he, I want to say probably mid-60s, ended up dying of black lung disease. Through the end of that movie, I wept as I saw the sacrifice of a dad laying down his life, even unto death, so that his son had the chance to pursue his dreams, and he eventually became a NASA rocket scientist, which I just thought was super cool. So I'm no rocket scientist, but I can definitely say that my dad laid down his life for me so that I could pursue my dreams. And I know that some of us kind of feel like we're maybe lacking direction or feeling like, as we sang, that our labor is in vain. But that's one thing that God's going to do, is use your career and use the provision that comes through that to allow your kids to pursue their dreams and to do things that we wouldn't be able to do. So we would all agree that work is hard. It's not always fun. When you labor for others, you get tired. Sometimes you get burned. You often don't see the fruit. And sometimes you feel like your labor is meaningless. I want to read an excerpt from an article that I found on desiringgod.org. This is called Hope and Help in the Hard. So I'm going to read this and then we'll finish with prayer and take communion together. Living and laboring by faith in things not seen is hard. Jesus reminds us the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But the way has always been hard, and you are not alone in the difficulty. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have passed this way ahead of you. Many have suffered far more and have remained faithful. Remember them and imitate their faith. Above all, remember Jesus Christ. Jesus knows your works and he understands your war. His grace will be given to you in your time of need, and it will be sufficient for you, even at the very worst of times. So look to Jesus. Fight the good fight of the faith and finish your race. When you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised, his great and eternal reward. Measured by eternity, the hardships of this life will not be long. And by your endurance, you will gain your lives. So let's not give up. Let's press on. Next time you think your work doesn't matter, next time you're fatigued, next time you wake up depressed because the day seems too big to handle, let's remember our calling, that we are to work in creation, on creation, with creation, and for creation. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, where we see your plan. We see you creating. We see you working hard. And we see you giving good gifts. And Father, I confess, and I think we're all probably in this boat together, that we often struggle with our labor and we only think about the curse and the fall and the burden. We lack aim and direction. And God, we desperately need you to awaken our hearts and to awaken our souls, to remind us that your spirit is within us, giving us strength. Thank you for reminding us this morning that your way of work was designed as good. And in these coming weeks, we're excited to hear about what it means for Jesus, for you to come in and to empower us to restore work to the way that it was. Help us to be that salt and light in whatever place we're at, where we're laboring, so that we can point others to you. And for those of us that feel isolated in our work, would you give us somebody that we can link arms with? Give us a teammate or a partner, a coworker or something, so that we can link arms together and work with creation, for creation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.